Hello, scary basement heads. Roxy and I are still on summer vacation. We're having fun in the sun, kicking back, drinking a pina colada. And because it's summer, you know we're playing video games.
Heck yeah. Summer vacation. And to be more specific, the game that both me and Mikey are playing is the most summer vacation game of all time. Sonic Adventure for the the Sega Dreamcast. It is Sonic System, though. You know.
It's honestly the only game I think about for the Sega Dreamcast, along with a Resident Evil. The Sega Dreamcast is a Sonic Adventure machine.
It's true. And guess what? Not only are we playing this game, we're also doing a podcast about it. Woo!
Absolutely. What you are about to hear is episode one of the Sonic Adventure Games Club podcast that me and Roxy appear on, along with our friends Jeremy Schmidt of Video Games and Comedy Show, Connor McCabe of Call Me By Your Game, Nick and Tyler of Reactivators, and July Diaz of Inside Video Games and Gaming with July Diaz. We are talking Sonic Adventure. We've all played through the beginning. You are about to hear the first episode for free. It is a Patreon-exclusive show, though, so if you want more, if you have fun with this episode, head on over to our Patreon, patreon.com/supernpcradio. Sign up at the $10 DJ Toad tier, and today you can hear episode 2. That's dropping today. But for now, this is episode 1 of the Sonic Adventure Games Club. Enjoy it.
Heck yeah. And don't forget to stay tuned for Scary Basement Season 2. It's dropping Tuesday, August 29th. We're almost there, guys. Can you feel it? Can you feel the excitement in the air? Horror in the air?
I'm chilled by the excitement in the air. It's not going to be fun for us because it's horror, but it'll be fun for you. Our first episode back, we are going to be covering the Texas Chainsaw Massacre, an all-time horror classic. But for now, enjoy the first episode of Sonic Adventure Games Club, which really could be called the Green Zone Homing Attack Massacre. Enjoy.
Welcome, one and all, to the inaugural episode of the Sonic Adventure Games Club here on patreon.com/supernpcradio. I'm your host for this episode, Jeremy Schmidt. Wow, I can't believe it. We've left the region of Kanto and are now in the region of Station Square, where we will be for the next, let's see here, about 12 weeks for this little season here at Q3 2023. Wow. Time is sure flying. I'm going to introduce the rest of the cast here. We got Connor McCabe. Boy, how are you?
I'm doing great. Wow.
Yeah. We got everyone's favorite chow, Roxy Polk.
Oh, thank you. Hi, guys. I'm happy to be here and happy to be a chow because they are adorable.
Yeah, we miss Roxy for like all the whole Pokemon Games Club. So now she's back. Everyone rejoice. This is great news.
Sonic brought me back. What can I say? Yeah. He's just that powerful.
He does it to us all.
It's true.
We got fishing buddies with Big the Cat, July Diaz.
Hey, everyone. Thanks for having me on. Jeremy, I have one request. Anytime I talk, can you play really, really loud music behind it so you can barely hear what I'm saying?
Yes, absolutely. Yeah.
Great.
I'll make sure and do a lot of posts to these episodes where I'm just drowning us out with the most screaming electric guitars solo. Yes. Speaking of electric guitar solo, it's just like if an electric guitar solo was a guy, Tyler Schnupp.
Pissing all by yourself, handsome. That's Roosh the Bat.
Pretty good.
Does anybody know this, by the way?
No.
I know. Bruce the Bat, who's not in this game.
Yeah.
I know the reference.
I'm just breezing past it. It sounded perverted.
Not really.
Tyler sent this to me on Instagram. It's a video of
who's this?
Very
who's
nice. Talking? Well, he asked.
We got the talker extraordinaire, Nick Costanza.
Aw, yeah, this is happening.
Yeah. Thank you. I have a lot to say about that line of dialogue later in the episode. Okay. And then we have our last but not yeast, Michael McCaller.
Oh, that was a Robotnik laugh.
Yeah, I love it.
He's not going to get away with this.
I couldn't have been more pleased that the patrons here at patreon.com/supernpcradio all voted for this game. It was touching. It was was it unanimous? No, I think what was neck and neck with this?
I want to say that
Metroid Fusion.
Metroid Fusion was high up there, and there was, and I think Mega Man X garnered a few votes, and then the game that got zero votes that I nominated, Grim Fandango. I'm doing as a co-op episode for August, so don't worry about it.
Grim Fandango is so good. I'm glad you are going to be doing it in some shape or form.
Thank you.
It was looking like my choice was going to get zero votes as well, but then it did get, I think, one or two, Silent Hill 2 at the end. Did that get anything, any votes? I know me and Roxy and probably McCullough. McCullough, you probably.
I was hoping for Sonic, to be honest.
Okay.
I always wanted to play, Silent Hill 2 was my second choice.
Silent Hill 2 was definitely me. So me and Jeremy, at least.
Yeah. I would have loved to talk to you guys about the themes of Silent Hill 2. This would have been quite the forum to do that, but
it's not exactly dissimilar to the themes of Sonic Adventure.
Yeah.
Would you say?
James is Sonic, and then James's wife is Tails.
Tails is Mary. I can see it.
Yeah,
Pyramid Head is real Knuckles.
Yeah, Pyramid Head is Knuckles. Okay, no one's laughing at this. I don't think anyone gets it. Okay,
now everybody knows how it feels.
Yeah, let's move on quickly. We're covering Sonic Adventure. I am.
I can see. Knuckles being Pyramid Head. That's really good. Yeah.
Similar head shape?
Yeah, for sure.
This is a video game.
Pyramid head sort of gliding around looking for emeralds.
No, I got a table. I'm doing some table setting time.
Only 6 minutes in and we already got the first July shush.
Folks, table setting time. This is a video game that is from 1998. It is a 3D platformer. Published by Sega and developed by Sonic Team for what? The Dreamcast, of all things. Who here owned a Dreamcast when it was popular? Roxy, you did?
Yeah, me and my brother had one.
Okay, tell us what it was like, because none of us know.
Yeah.
Really? None of you guys had one?
I certainly did not. I was jealous of anyone who did.
Oh, damn. It was like the first Sonic game I played was Sonic Adventure was on this system. The first Phantasy Star Online game I ever played. There's also this weird like RPG called Evolution that had like procedurally generated dungeons and of course like Power Stone and stuff. Soul Calibur too. But yeah, it felt so cool, especially with the controllers having those slots for the VMUs being the memory cards. They're like little screens that you can take out and take with you. And like each game would have a different like gimmick with it, which the one in this game is really cool because like it was 98, digital pets were the thing. I had a million of them. I fucking loved them. And this game let you get your chows in the game and then put them in the VMUs, which was just the coolest shit that I loved as a kid.
Roxy, I'm gonna call out some folks in this Zoom right now.
Whoa.
There are some people here who don't like chows and think they suck.
What? Who?
Okay, all right, look, it's me. I hate chows, but I could be convinced. I could be convinced. I don't know how they work. I don't know, have any experience with the chow garden.
Babies.
I've never messed with it in the games at all.
Jeremy's sort of like a juggalo and the chows are the magnet.
Tyler, I'm wondering if as the resident chow defender, can you kind of like lay a base for what chows are? Because I poked around with them, but I've never played this game before. I've known nothing about this game. Just like Pokemon, I think that'll just be my role from now on.
Chows are like Pokemon.
The baby dunce. So if you like, what are chows? What are you doing with them? What's the deal?
And honestly, because to talk Sonic Adventure is to talk chows, right?
I disagree, though. Chows did not really become Chao until Sonic Adventure 2. That's
okay,
where all-
but wait, oh, Roxy, okay. Explain them as for the listeners so that they understand what Chao, because this was a big phenomenon. I mean, people loved this aspect of it.
Yeah, they're cute little guys. They're like in these eggs, which in this game you can find like special eggs that will give them like special colors. Like in the earlier stages, you can find a gold one and mm-hmm. I think like a metal one. But yeah, they're just like these little guys. They have their own little zone called like the Chao Garden. So if I wasn't playing this on stream, I would have had to have looked it up because I didn't know how you did it, because the game tutorializes tons of stuff, but not this, that you right. need to like hold them and shake the egg in a specific way, which like the command prompt doesn't come up or anything. If my chat hadn't told me how to do it, they would have remained eggs and never hatched.
Oh, no.
You wouldn't have chucked them against a wall or anything.
How do you do it?
You can do that and then they get like mad or they something, get right?
Angry it's with the you, same yes. button to pick it up when you pick up the egg. And if you keep holding the button, you move your joystick, you will gently rock the egg.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
And then it hatches. Wow. And then the animals you free from the levels, you can pick up an animal and give it to the Chao, and then it will take on those like features. So like, so if you're like a rabbit,
you feed those animals to those Chows.
No, they sort of they rub the animals.
They just like look at it. Yeah.
And it carves off a body piece to wear as like a trophy. mm-hmm. I understand.
Yeah.
Or like mimicry, as if there's some sort of a doppelganger or something.
That's nicer.
I have a Chao in Space poster directly.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
I was looking at that.
Nick does have that. It is very cool. A t-shirt of that would be cool as well. I think, yes.
Of the poster on the wall?
Yeah, t-shirt of the poster on the wall. Roxy, What an amazing childhood that must have been with that Sega Dreamcast. I was always very jealous of people who had them. I remember there was like a Resident Evil exclusive game on there for a while. It was
three.
That's how I first played Veronica, actually. Code Veronica. My brother had a demo disc for Code Veronica played a lot. God, Grandia 2 was also on that, too.
Yeah, Grandia 2. Skies of Arcadia, Jet Set Radio. Yes. I mean,
oh my God, Jet Set Radio.
Yeah, the list goes on and on.
It's so weird that more of us didn't have them, considering how well the console did.
I wanted one more than anything. I begged my parents for it for Christmas. My next door neighbor, my best friend Jack, who's been on my version of the Bonk Boys a bunch of times, he got it on Christmas morning, and I did not. My parents would still. They were in a phase where they weren't giving me like any console games. I could only have handheld, and it was like the worst Christmas.
Was that the year they also gave you coal?
No, that was a few years later.
Sure.
Me and my brother had to share the Dreamcast. Is how that was. So it's always like it's my turn on the Dreamcast.
Yeah, the Dreamcast was sort of like
a dream.
Yeah, it was like, you know, the N64 had like the four controller ports. The Dreamcast was doing a similar thing. It was kind of intended to be like a party system slash like arcade system. You know, like Sega was so attached to this idea that they were going to bring arcade games to the home console market that like you really got a sense that even though a lot of these games were like super fun, like it didn't have... It just couldn't compete with something like the PlayStation 2, which was like everything was developed for home console on that. I mean, there's also like a million reasons why the Dreamcast failed. But when it did, Sega did not go into the night and die. They kept their IPs alive on different consoles. And one of those was the GameCube, where Sonic Adventure found a second life around... When did Sonic Adventure DX come out? That was like
the aughts.
Yeah, it was like 2001.
Yeah,
I think
like October 2001.
The next worst selling console of that generation.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, no kidding. But they also had their games on PlayStation 2 and Xbox as well. Sometimes they'd have exclusive Xbox games and whatnot. Sega really had a interesting time in the aughts. It was like they'd kind of landed on their feet a little bit, figured it out. Sonic Adventure is a big part of that.
They're probably still big in arcade, like places in Japan too, probably, right?
Then they had like the AM2 chip that was like, or the Naomi chip that was playing games like Ikaruga and Crazy Taxi and Marvel versus Capcom 2.
Crazy Taxi. I feel like that was bundled with these systems when like they'd sell them like as a set with like game and system.
Did anyone play Space Channel 5 on the Dreamcast? You guys remember that with like the lady?
I remember.
Do you remember it? I never played it, but it's a cool rhythm game.
I think so. Yeah, I've never played it, but
you can get a bundle of like a bunch of Dreamcast games on Steam, and that's included in it.
That's right. Yeah.
I've seen this lady before.
Yeah.
Never played the game though.
So
the Dreamcast lasted about as long as a dream.
Yes, it did.
Did I time
that correctly?
This game started its life on the Sega Saturn, which notably has no Sonic games. Yeah, it was going to be called Sonic Extreme, and it was going to be a 3D Sonic game. And there's footage of it out there, and it looks like throw up, and no, and looks like it totally sucks, and it just doesn't like have any of the, even like Mario 64 had already been out at the time, and it's just like. Even compared to that, it looks terrible. Mm.
The whole game looks like it's got like a fisheye lens filter over
Weird.
It.
Weird.
Yeah.
Very important question. How is extreme spelled? Because this is like the 90s.
So oh, you know.
Yeah. Yeah. It's the funniest version of it. It's X-T-R-E-M-E.
Yeah.
Extreme.
Perfect.
So, so that got canceled. And then people were like, oh, Sonic is dead. Because, like, they just didn't show up on the Sega Saturn at all. People were like, oh, no, he's dead. But then they brought him to the Dreamcast. And they dumped some of the stuff they did with Sonic Extreme into Sonic Jam. Have you guys seen footage of this?
Oh, yes.
No, what is this?
Sonic Jam is like a collection of Sonic the Hedgehog 2D games on the Sega Saturn, but it has a little hub where you can go like listen to Sonic music or look at Sonic commercials, and you're playing as a little Sonic in 3D jumping around. Hmm. And it's most like a stripped down version of Sonic Adventure. It's like in a completely 3D world. You can jump on little springs. There's what is it called? No. When you run
Flickies.
Through and it's like ding ding.
Flickies.
You know what? I think Flickies. I've played it.
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah. Yeah.
So my aforementioned friend Jack, his dad was a computer programmer, and he would always like download games. So it was like he was a big into gift giving as his love language, and he would like try to find every kind of game, and we were both obsessed with Sonic, so he like would find these ports and like put it on the computer. And I definitely played this, and I played Sonic 3D Blast, and for a while that was 3D Sonic to me.
Yeah, 3D Blast is like it's like an interesting half step or something where it's like isometric, like kind of 3D, like kind of like Kirby's Tilt and Tumble or Kirby's golf, whatever
Dream
that
course.
Game is. Dream course, yeah.
Yeah.
Can I say this? I just want to say that I'm very proud of Nick for bringing up Sonic 3D Blast and then no horny joke after.
That's pretty good,
that's
Nick.
Pretty good, yeah.
Yeah.
I'm maturing.
I can't imagine what a horny joke would be like.
I, you know,
off of that title, but
something with
3D
maybe.
Yeah.
Probably with 3D.
Yeah,
with
something.
3D something.
Like you're 3D printing something, maybe?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
No, I'm turning 30 in less than a month.
You're turning 3D in less than a month?
Okay,
I'm turning 3D. And,
good for you. Good for you. You've been 2D this whole time.
Yeah. Well, you know, you'll refer to me as Classic Nick after this.
Okay. All right.
Okay.
Now I'm going to be Cool Nick.
Okay. I like it. So I guess let's go around and talk about our own personal experiences with Sonic Adventure. Mine is that I didn't. I played this in stores, like on the when it would be set up in like consoles or whatever, like at a GameStop, and I just remember thinking like there was nothing cooler or that I wanted more than this game, like with that controller. Like I remember being obsessed with the Dreamcast controller. then we got this on the GameCube. My parents bought us for Christmas. Like, they're like, here's your GameCube, Metroid Prime, yeah, Super Smash Brothers, and Sonic Adventure DX for some reason. Wow. And I was like, sick. And so I played this on the GameCube, and I never beat it, which is actually really sad looking back, knowing how little of game there is to actually beat. I could have easily beaten this in an afternoon, but I never did. But I played it there a lot. Anyway, Connor McCabe history.
Yeah, this is a game that I've been told that I like at least looked at and played, because I didn't have a Dreamcast. That would have come up earlier when you asked us, and I would be honest if I had one, Jeremy, I promise. But my best friend's older brother had one, and I remember being in his room one time and seeing it and seeing the VMU in the controller, but I don't know if I even got to try it. Strangely enough, when I had my GameCube, when Sonic Advent, I had like an affinity for Sonic, because I think I had like a little PC collection pack of Sonic games, including Sonic R, that old Sonic Racing game that I think originally came out for the Saturn, which is like an absolute like blast. It's not a 3D artwork. Blast, but it's a blast.
I can't get over that artwork. It's a good cover.
It's good. The music's incredible. But so I had affinity for Sonic, and while I never played Sonic Adventure, I loved Sonic Adventure 2 Battle for the GameCube, and also got very into the Chows. Played that game over and over. Really enjoyed it all the way through. And then a couple of years ago, in the first year we did Super NPCs, I want to say it was a 2020 Super NPCs episode. We talked about it. Could have been 2021. Jeremy and I played I played a couple hours of Sonic Adventure on like PS time.
And I beat the whole game on PS.
Yes. And we just did like a sort of a brief overview episode on the game. And I will say, when I played that, I was very confused most of the time and like didn't know what was going on, didn't know what I was doing. And so, but that also prepared me for jumping in this time, where I at least had some familiarity with the world and how things work and how to talk to people. So this is going to be my first true playthrough of the game.
All right.
So I'm also very excited at one.
And let's go also and ahead and talk about how we'll be playing it for this Gamescast. So I'll be playing the GameCube version, Sonic Adventure DX, on a GameCube. So like I'm very excited to see that through. I have played it to date on PS Now and on a Dreamcast before. So this will be like my third playthrough of the game, but first complete playthrough, because like I usually just beat Sonic's story and then I'm just like, goodbye. But I'll be playing through Tails and Knuckles and all the different characters as well. So I'm really excited to do that. Connor, what are you playing it on?
Yeah, I have been very fortunate when friend of the show Patrick Ellers lent me his Dreamcast to play on original hardware. So I'm playing with got a nice little Dreamcast controller over here, playing on it, really enjoying it on an old CRT. It's pretty fun.
Oh, my God. I love that so much.
That's great.
Sounds like heaven. Tyler Schnupp, history with the game and how you playing it.
Listeners will know I was, of course, a child of divorce.
I think when you say that now, people cheer because they're so happy to hear it come up again.
Mm-hmm. It's like, did I do that?
Yes.
For Family Matters.
Yeah. It's
Sonic the Hedgehog himself, Jaleel White.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
Wow.
That's right. So I'll wait for the applause to go down just a little bit. And here we go. My parents never had. They did. It was the classic McDonald's meme of, can we get McDonald's? No, we have McDonald's at home and it's a friggin' PS2, you know? So I never had one, but I will say, growing up,
meme.
It's so good, July. You gotta look it up.
I've never seen it. I gotta see this thing.
You gotta see it. It's a meme format.
I had no idea it was McDonald's was the beginning of this meme.
It's about McDonald's.
I'm looking at it. This is funny. Yeah.
It's pretty great, huh?
So can you send it to me, July?
Yeah, of course.
If y'all want to pause and we just
Just look at memes for an hour.
So
yeah, send it around.
I did not have a Dreamcast, but I will say my most misbehaved friends had them. So,
that's true. It is true. I can confirm that my dickhead friend had one.
Yeah,
Roxy was the jerk in her group.
Yeah,
yeah.
Just like Sonic, Sega's for bad boys.
It's for bad boys. I was apparently too sweet and going through too much. Two houses.
You need two Dreamcasts, so your parents couldn't afford two. Obviously,
they couldn't afford two. You're right. It was unfortunate, but I did have a neighbor when I moved to the Bay Area. I can't remember how old I was, but they had a Dreamcast. I would have to go over to their house sometimes, it doesn't matter. But they had it. They were like, "Hey, our son has this." Who cares? And they would be like, "You can play it here." Shut the hell up! And then,
all right,
shut up. This is my part. And
okay.
Oh no.
They were nice people, and they said their older son had one, and they were like, "You can play this if you'd like." And I played it there a lot. I have played through it before, and now I'm playing it on an Xbox Series S. I call it the Sonic Machine because that's where all my Sonic games are.
I love that shit, dude. That's great.
Thanks.
I have a lot of Sonic games on my Xbox as well.
Yeah. It's the Sonic Machine.
I feel like the Xbox controller is like the perfected Dreamcast controller.
Yeah. Hmm. In a way,
like
you're right.
Like the trigger.
That feels true too.
Yeah, kind of the shape, similar. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. July Diaz.
I never played any of the Dreamcast versions of this or two. My introduction to the adventure games was through the GameCube, playing Two Battle first. I looked at the release dates. I think that came out first for the GameCube in the US.
Mm-hmm.
And then, I loved that game, played it a bunch, and then when DX came out, that was my first time with Sonic Adventure proper. And I think I also felt like you, Connor, playing that game going backward, and it was just so kind of this game doesn't really hold your hand to like try to let you know where to go next.
Although a lot of pedestrians, if you talk to them, they will kind of give you hints. That is something I definitely didn't know as a kid. I didn't even know how to talk to people.
I was going to say, I'm 11 years old. I don't have time to talk to the NPCs in the world and read. No way.
Well, I'll say this. Yeah, I always thought it wasn't until this initial playthrough. I never talked to the NPCs. I always thought you couldn't.
Oh.
And I never even bothered to try because it's playing it this time. It's kind of difficult. I don't know if it's just what I'm playing it on. Your character starts doing like an action animation if you don't like stand in the correct position talk.
You have to face the NPC.
It's real frustrating.
Real finicky. Yeah. That's a slight hickbox for you to be in talking range.
Or you just blast off, which sucks.
Right.
Which you got to be careful about in the Chao Garden.
Yes.
Knocking those fools all over the place.
Oh, okay,
yeah. It actually has repercussions.
Yeah.
I thought you meant something, some allusion to blasting off or something.
No, I would never do that. I have too much reverence for the source material.
Okay. I love this game. I definitely have beaten it a bunch of times. Excited to play it again and go through the whole thing. I do love Chao's. I think I agree with Nick. I think Chao's are perfected in the second one as opposed to this one. It's still kind of fun to see like the, is this the first game where they appear?
Yeah.
Nick, do you know it? Yeah. And I think it's I think everyone should love a Chao. I think it teaches parenthood and sort of like those qualities, and whoever doesn't like that might not be a good parent.
No, I'm gonna kick one if I see it.
My friends did about a year ago have their first child, and they skipped all the how to raise your baby books, and they just got a VMU Games Store.
Perfect.
And just doing Chao's.
Sound like perfect parents to me.
Yeah,
they are now.
Feels like the equivalent of a teacher giving you an egg and telling you to take care of it. And if you fail.
Yeah, Jeremy's going home and putting the egg on the skillet.
Yeah, I'm frying that egg, putting salt.
Mm-hmm.
Michael McCollar.
You
don't want to know what I'm playing it on?
Okay. Oh, I'm sorry. I thought you said, did you not say? I'm sorry. Okay. What are you playing it on?
So I'm playing it on the Steam Deck.
What?
Oh.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. That's
Wait,
why
is this
I was
a reveal? Did we all know July has a Steam Deck?
I didn't know this.
I didn't.
That's a symbol of status.
Yeah. So it's not mine. I'm going to be very clear with it. It's not mine. I'm borrowing it.
Patrick Ellers?
No. I have
Patrick Ellers?
Not from Patrick. My neighbor, Jack, his dad is sort of like a gift giver, you know? And so he's letting me borrow his Steam Deck.
What the hell?
I don't understand
at all. He's referencing my friend and his dad. But I know that that's not actually where he got the Steam Deck from.
And Jeremy, are you just cooking an egg with salt?
Well, that's my seasoning for the egg.
Okay.
Salt and pepper.
You left out pepper.
All right. Well, always both. Michael McCollar, what's your history with this game and where are you playing it on?
I actually just use pepper for my eggs.
Smart.
Better?
Smart.
I had only played this game similarly to Jeremy in stores. I feel like there were a lot of demos. I had played this first level and I straight up do not recall if I ever played it at anybody's home ever. I too had a similarly naughty little friend. I had a naughty friend who had a Dreamcast, but this was also my Resident Evil friend. So he had it for Code Veronica. We were Code Veronica-ing on this bad boy. I want to say he had Sonic Adventure and we did play it. I have never, not once until this playthrough this time, gotten past the first level of this.
Yeah.
Rather, I played the first level, got dumped out into the hub world, had no idea what to do, and never continued on. So
yeah.
This is all new for me, baby. We're in uncharted waters. I'm playing it on the Xbox Series S.
Ooh!
I bought it from the Xbox 360 store, so you get that bizarre pixelated, do you want to save pop-up in Xbox 360 font, which is nice to see.
I love it. Yeah. Nick Costanza.
I got a story. Sonic story time.
I didn't know you were going to have a story, but I was like, he's got a story.
I for sure told this on Reactivators multiple times at this point, but it's my most traumatic gaming story.
Oh, no. I was going to say, everybody pull up a blanket and get cozy. This is going to be fun, but.
Oh, no, it's another glitch story.
No glitches. no glitches. I engineered Emerald Coast is the glitchiest map ever, but we'll get to that. No, I was a massive Sonic fan. I played 2 and 3 all day, every day. I loved them, but I knew this game was coming out, and all I wanted to do was play this game. This was before my friend had a Dreamcast. I had maybe seen someone play it before I got the chance. I remember visiting somebody's house, and it was this girl with the Dreamcast. She was in the Chow Garden, but I didn't know what I was looking at. And also, I hadn't really played 3D games at this point, but I went to my grandma's house in New Jersey one summer, and my cousin, Little Michael, had a Dreamcast.
Why was his name Little Michael?
Because his dad's name was Michael.
Michael.
But he wasn't a junior, so they just called him Little Michael.
Yeah, it was me. I'm Nick's cousin.
Yeah, Little Michael.
Oh, my God.
McCullough. I was going to say, sounds pretty naughty.
And Little Michael had Sonic Adventure on the Dreamcast, and I pleaded and I begged, please let me play, please let me
play. Please, Little Michael, please let me play.
And I remember he told me, you can play.
Oh, no. It's Little Michael.
He said, "You can play when pigs fly." That's he specifically said.
Wow. Dude.
And
oh my God. How dare he?
See, well, he's a little naughty boy.
He was. He was very bratty. He was very spoiled. And I can say that now because I don't talk to him anymore. But
he was like many of Nick's family in January 6th.
Yeah.
That wasn't his dad, but we're in the same ballpark.
That wasn't Big Michael. It was
medium-sized Michael.
If you participate in January 6th, then you keep reliving it like Groundhog's Day.
Yeah.
That's the best premise, Connor. Write that movie.
That's good. That's
Groundhog
good.
Day, but it's January 6th.
Oh my gosh.
Wow. It's like your curse.
You're Ashley Babbitt every time. you guys brought it up. He finally relented. For what it's worth, he had beaten the game. He'd 100%ed it already. So,
oh, wow.
I don't know if I tattled to my grandma or what, but eventually he was just, I wore him down and he was like, "All right, you can play it, but don't delete my save file." And he handed me a controller and I didn't know what the buttons did. And I immediately started over his game. And he had left the room, so he didn't see it.
Oh no.
So the clock was ticking. You had to 100% this game before he came back.
I didn't even know that I'd done it, but I was starting the game, and we'll talk about the intro song at some point because that's like burned in my memory, but I was having a great time, and then all of a sudden he came in and he just knew, like, I think he knew before he handed it to me that
he
was
could
gonna
smell it on you.
Yeah.
And he was so mad at me, and for the rest of that trip, he and my other cousin, who did attend January 6th, would not let me watch them play video games. I had to like peek under the door in the back bedroom and try to catch glimpses.
Under the door.
This is a nightmare, Nick.
Yeah. Man, if that guy was so worried about you overwriting his save, he should have sat you down and just helped you create a new file if he cared
so
much.
You
can
do four saves.
I can't believe he just just threw you into that and you don't know how it works or anything. Like, I don't know, man.
Yeah, that's
like it's partially on him. Very
it's like handing someone a gun and be like, "Don't shoot yourself," and then walking out of the room and hoping they know what they're doing.
Yeah.
Well, I shot myself immediately.
Yeah.
I think that's the beginning, Connor, of Shadow the Hedgehog.
If someone hands Shadow a gun and says,
Don't shoot yourself.
There he is.
Shadow the Hedgehog should be in the Persona series, shouldn't he?
Oh, yeah.
Persona.
Yeah.
Anyway.
That's a tragic tale.
It was horrible. I did eventually play the game with Jack when he got his Dreamcast, and then I played it through myself for the first time when I had a GameCube and I got Sonic Adventure DX.
Ooh, woo. Yay.
And I have a follow-up question, Nick.
Yes.
First off, what are you playing it on right now, currently?
I am playing it on Steam with a PS5 controller.
Nice. Ooh. And a follow-up to that, are you playing it sort of in a vantage point where you're laying on the ground underneath, like vantage point between a door, so you can feel like sense memory of like the good old days of?
Yeah, I have a TV in my room and I lay down in the hallway outside and try to play, get the best glimpse I can.
Perfect. And just another quick follow up. How you cooking that egg?
I don't cook it. I gently shake it until it hatches.
That's how you do it.
I do have to say real quick, for anybody who is playing on Steam, I had to go through so many controller presets to get it to play correctly, because the initial one, whatever the generic is, whenever you jump, you can't like do the second jump where you kind of dash forward. Instead, any button I would press after I jumped, I would just immediately drop back to the ground.
Oh.
It took probably 20 minutes to figure it out.
Wow. Well, Nick, thank you for sharing. Roxy, did you have any other Sonic Adventure origin story you wanted to share? Or did you feel like you got that all out?
I guess I got pretty much all the big points. Like, this was my first Sonic game I ever played, so I didn't know Sonic at all until this game.
Are you playing on Steam?
Yes, I am playing on Steam and I'm using a 360 controller.
That to me feels extra good. I like that.
Where is it? Oh, shoot. It's on my table over there because I was playing it from my couch. But it is a see-through plastic 360 controller. So I get to pretend like I'm still in 1998, I guess.
Yeah. That's some excellent gaming right there. So, yeah, I guess just to kind of round out this segment, you know, before we kind of break into the game, like, this, to me, anecdotally, feels like a high watermark for the Sonic series. I don't know if everyone else kind of feels that way. This and Sonic Adventure 2, I feel like, are looked back on very fondly, despite the fact that they both have, you know, a pretty sizable amount of glitches and, you know, the game straight up just might dump you through the level. but I guess, like, I don't know, I feel like fans of this game and fans of the series sort of come to it with a sense of humor about all that stuff. Like, we all kind of know what we're getting into when we turn on a Sonic Adventure game.
I think, to me, having played both these games in the last year, I think this might be the best one. I think out of the two of them, I do think, God, this is hard for me to say out loud, I think Sonic Adventure 1 is better.
Yeah, I kind of feel that way too.
Than 2, you're saying?
Yeah, I think so. The story makes more sense. I mean, Sonic Adventure 2's story really doesn't make any sense at all if you try to break it down. But I also like that with 2, you're hamstrung a little bit because you have 6 different playable characters, but there are pairs of them and they play exactly the same way. I really like that this is a somewhat open world game where each character can be played differently. I just think that's really fun. You can run around as Gamma or Big the Cat, and you can just bop people with that hammer if you're Amy. Rules.
Yeah, there's Sonic Adventure 2 is structured fairly differently, where it's like it kind of takes you through a story, a hero story and a villain story. And so you're not in control of, like, when you have to switch characters necessarily. I think a lot of the level designs in 2 are really great. And it's kind of, I feel like if 1 is better, to me, it's like pretty close. Like, I like them both a lot. But I think there's things that I really miss in Sonic Adventure 2 that are in this game, like the hub world. I think that's actually kind of cool. And that the fact that there's little puzzles and little Easter eggs and things to discover in that is a neat idea, you know?
I love the music in this game too.
Yeah.
I think it's so good on a level by level basis, and like just getting to Station Square and hearing that theme for the first time, it just makes me happy.
I know. I have the same sort of feeling too, and the Mystic Ruins theme is really nice and chill.
I love it how you enter a section, a new like area, and then it's kind of really quiet for a while.
Yeah.
And then the music pops in, as in like they're dropping the needle on
it. I always like to get a few jumps in, so I get some quiet, isolated broom, broom, broom.
Quiet on set.
Yeah, exactly. But Sonic's never quiet on set, you know? this is also, I guess maybe this is kind of worth talking about, that like this is like Sonic's sort of foray into a new generation. Like it's a redesigned Sonic from last we saw him as sort of the squat, maybe plump, sort of more kid friendly. This is like a teenage Sonic.
He's growing up.
He's growing up. His legs are getting long and skinny.
Another parallel between this and our last Games Club. Pikachu went through the same thing. You start out kind of chubby, and then you come into your own when you're taking the next step.
Yeah, when you're ready to hear about what sex means, you know?
Yeah. I feel like even in the, like the model is obviously has that redesign, but the cover art where with Sonic in his pose where his hands are all kind of like this and arm's going under his like between Iconic. His crotch for some reason it's very specific, and they're like, we're cooling him up big time.
That pose, Connor, might be the most, you know, I'd say in the last couple years, the most kind of like re-memed and like taken as inspiration for other various
things online. Oh, interesting.
I found this somewhere. There is an image like that for every character in the game, including Robotnik.
Wow. Oh, cool.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I'll see if I can find that and send it to you guys.
That's really cool.
Exact same pose, or they all have like an iconic pose?
They all have their own version of it, but it's very similar.
Okay.
I mean, speaking of which, too, I do want to take this moment to shout out like what great art that Michael McCullough made based on this.
Our Games Club art this time is really something else. It's incredible. If you are listening to this on a free feed, you know, go over, rush over to patreon.com/supernpcradio and subscribe at the $10 DJ Toad tier right away, just so you can see the art.
And also follow us on Instagram where you can see that too.
Oh no.
Oh, that's so funny, July. July sent the listener
Garfield adventure. That's
Garfield good. Posing as Sonic. That's cool. Incredible.
I love this.
That's really cute.
Yeah, there's like something about the line art and like the highlight on this, like the way it is colored. It's just so iconic.
This is, I also want to talk just briefly about like, so the structure of the game is pretty much like, you know, there's a hub world and you're going to go into different levels as Sonic. But that, like, I don't know, the 3D platformers of the 32-bit and 64-bit generation, I feel like we're quite a bit different than this. Like, this is sort of like a different kind of, like, this is not a collect-a-thon necessarily, like a Banjo-Kazooie or something. And it's not necessarily a challenges-based game like a Mario or something. It's like you are progressing through these levels much in the same way as you would the 2D Sonics.
Yes,
like just sort of needing to get through it, you know.
It almost feels like the way like Mario 3D World kind of eventually started doing 3D Mario, where they were just levels that you got to the end of, but they happened to be in 3D, as opposed to like this complete reworking of what it means to complete your objectives in a 3D Mario game that Mario 64 did.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean that's exactly right. Yeah, it's it definitely like, it's weird because it's like there are actually not a ton of games exactly like this necessarily. I mean, even like when you get to like the Jak and Daxters, you're back to like more collect-a-thon challenge based, you know, kind of a hybrid of them. But yeah, it's just a weird time in general too, because as you know, anything that came out on the Dreamcast, you consider it like this in between. Weird era of gaming where it's like we're out of the, you know, Metal Gear Solids of yesterday but haven't quite gotten the Metal Gear Solid 2s of tomorrow, you know. So it's like almost like unstandardized or something, a little wheels off. Like you'll have a game like Shenmue come out for the Dreamcast, but also Crazy Taxi, like wildly different experiences, and this game is very indicative of that as well. Okay, what do you say we jump in to the game?
I'd love to do that.
This will be fun.
Okay, so lights up. You get to the menu. You're creating your save. You're getting to the wheel of characters. What the heck? There's more than just Sonic here. I get to play as all these people. I mean, that's got to be a profound moment for someone, right?
I got to go back a step. We got to talk about the intro theme and like the video that
plays. Yeah, the cinematic.
Man, holy shit, that movie.
Oh, it's so intense. It activates a childhood anxiety in me still.
It's like, kind of almost broken up into half. Like half of it is kind of like serious and scary. Then the other half is like rocking. How cool is everybody?
Yeah.
Yeah. Rocking, how cool is everybody?
It's really cool is the answer.
Like Jeremy was just talking about this like in between time of gaming between the first 3D generation going into the second one, which I really feel like took many giant steps for humanity mostly. But one of the ways that gaming took steps was like the FMVs were suddenly so good. And even looking at this like opening movie on an old CRT, I'm still pretty impressed by how good it looks. Sure, some of like the imagery that you see is like some very basic looking 3D models, but they do look better than they look in the game. And so Yeah, I was just like really impressed by that opening cinematic in a big way.
The water looks good, which is surprising because water didn't look good in any form of gaming for a long time after this.
Oh, and, got me thirsty over here. Yeah.
Yeah. It's got like that wave race water.
The moment where chaos emerges from the building is so awesome. The guy screams. It still scares me.
Yeah. Connor talking about FMVs as well. It's like, Mario 64 didn't have anything like that. You know, I mean, so this is like, whoa, look at how flashy we are on our new console. We're using Final Fantasy like FMV language to tell our story in this like almost like kids like IP or whatever. This like, very cool. I also think that the music is like also very of the time throughout, you know, which is like really fun.
Hold on much longer.
Yeah. Yeah.
Who's the band who does the music for this game? Or like at least some of the songs?
That's a good question.
Kings of Leon.
Is it POD?
Isn't it Crush 40?
Or Slipknot?
I thought it was Lit.
Linkin Park?
I think Crush 40. They did Sonic Adventure 2, right?
Okay.
They do the first one.
I was also
wondering if this is the same music track they use in like the Japanese version. Like, English words, or did they translate it for this? Because some games would like have completely new songs for American releases and stuff.
Yeah.
It looks like, from what I'm just skimming on the Wikipedia, that like there was some original composition composed by a composer named Jen Senoi. And then there's also, some like original music tracks performed by people who would then become Crush 40.
It was. Yeah, it was. Open Your Heart, performed by Crush 40.
Crush 40.
Can we talk real quick? The way this music, and Roxy was just kind of making me think about it by saying how it would be like Japanese lyrics translated to English. The music's like a big part of this, and I'm hoping you guys can help me point out some other moments of this. This game feels to me like the most anime game of all time, including games based on anime.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah, and like it has a Saturday morning cartoon vibe as well. It feels like kids anime.
Yeah,
yeah. Tyler, any comments?
Yeah, baby, I agree.
This is the kind of music Tyler still listens to this day, right?
Yeah, this is what I play.
Yeah. This is like what your band sounds like.
This is what my band sounds like. And yeah, I'm going to a fest this weekend.
I'm going to Temple of the Dog Fest. Great. Well, yeah, it is very. I feel like it. And that wasn't always clear to me when I was younger. I didn't put that together. Then Final Fantasy is also like that too. Where Final Fantasy is also like the most anime thing of all time. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, and I just like didn't realize it for a long time.
Yeah, well, I mean, if you weren't watching anime at the same time when it was coming out too, you probably wouldn't make that connection.
I was like, Cloud's hair is so wild. It's like actually less wild than a lot of people's hair. All right, well, so anything else about this intro cutscene?
I guess just the fact that it starts with like everything being obliterated and destroyed, it sets a very strange tone to be like, yeah, have fun on this adventure.
Uh-oh, yeah, that's a fun adventure thing. To revel in the destruction.
Absolutely destroyed city.
Should have been called Sonic Survival.
There you go.
Yeah,
you
especially also, with the contrast of the first level, like the first area, it's like, how are we going to get to what the opening cinematic showed us?
Right.
I love that. That's the tease of it, right?
Yeah.
You got to figure out what's happening. You're seeing not just the monster, but you're seeing like the flying egg or whatever his ship is called.
Right.
You see that emerge. You see
the scrambled egg, the scramby eggs. Egg.
The pepper only.
Yeah, the scramby eggs.
You also see Knuckles' island falling into the water. That's huge.
Oh, yeah. That was his island?
Yeah. We'll get there.
I don't think we see Epstein's? That in game or.
Well, you're also seeing human beings. Like, so let's talk about that right away.
Yeah.
Like,
talk about that.
To go to July's point.
Why don't we do
me
a favor and talk about that right away?
Let's talk about the humans real quick.
Yeah. Hey, hey, time out, Knuckles. Let's talk humans.
I mean, yeah. The game starts like when you can actually control Sonic for the first time. He's like next to a human girl in a bathing suit, which is like the most awkward looking juxtaposition.
Yeah. It's the most shocking thing I've ever seen in my life. And it wouldn't be, and nothing would come close until Mario Odyssey of all games, where they recycle this exact same convention, which is like, look at these regular but so weird looking humans.
Now I have a question.
Also, right next to Sonic, who is like what?
Yeah,
literal cartoon character, then sort of realistically rendered humans, maybe.
Yeah.
I have a question about that.
Okay, can we answer it?
Yes, of course. Do we think that Sonic and his pals have lived in this town for so long that they know everyone, so no one's like freaked out by them?
Okay, so here, good question. Okay, this is getting into the game, right? So like when you first start this game as Sonic and he's jumping on the roofs at night, right?
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
I looked this up and I couldn't find an answer. Does Sonic live there in that like
he must.
Why was he there?
It is a good question.
It doesn't. Tyler. No one explains like what is Sonic vacationing? Because like it's maybe. Later he's in like a hotel, right?
He is in a hotel. Like your home base is a hotel, not remember at all.
Yeah, I'm really kicking myself because I was just in Seattle and I was at a Pink Gorilla, and one of the first things I saw was a strategy guide. And I'm sure game.
Pork.
And I was like, I have to go back and get that before I leave. And I just never did it.
Yeah. I've been specifically writing down for story purposes, every character's motivation.
Mm-hmm.
Like what they're doing in the story. Like, what is Eggman doing in the story? Like, what does he want? You know? And for Sonic, we get nothing teed up for us. Like, what is he? He must be. I mean, I guess you're to assume if if you know there's a Sonic the Hedgehog 3, that like maybe he's like on a break from saving the world or something, and then this happens.
It's interesting. I assumed that it was like he always knows he has to stop Robotnik, that they're like two hawks in flight, like fighting as they tumble towards the ground. Like, I don't think they can extract themselves from
Batman Joker.
But he is like Batman, though, because he's kind of responding to a crime, and he's on the rooftops.
Mm-hmm. I feel like there
by
is
accident, a... like he comes to the city and he's like, "Oh yeah, this is happening," and it's just like two people on the street walking.
He was just going to spend a couple weeks on the rooftops.
Can we also talk about the best line of dialogue I've ever seen in a fiction before?
Which is
he's on the roofs jumping around. And he to himself declares, "Ah, yeah, this is happening."
That's so cool.
Now, my read is that he is a sort of established superhero of some kind, I guess, because for one thing, there's a freaking Sonic pinball machine in the casino.
Yeah, so he's famous here.
Yeah, he's celebrity status. Yeah.
Him but and the also, Knights.
Yeah.
Or you go to Emerald Coast, if you talk to some of the beach babes, one of them says, "Sonic, we need your help. You need to go save Tails." She knows who he is.
But how does she have a line on Tails?
She almost
feels like a
crash,
royal family.
Think, but then how does she know he's even in there, I guess?
Wait, I like this royal family. Like, they're like... Wait,
you're
what
like
does
aware
that
of like the plebes are aware of like the castle intrigue. Like they know that Sonic and Robotnik are always feuding. They know that Tails is kind of next in line for the throne. Like,
and they're trying to do business in this world.
But I must also say there's an implication that Sonic and Robotnik are meeting for the first time in this game.
I didn't get
like
that.
To reset it. Maybe
Robotnik says, "I'm Dr. Robotnik" to Sonic in their
first. Well, I think he says, like, "Hey, isn't that a giant egg?" And I thought it was like out of fury. He was like, "No, I'm Dr. Robotnik. You know who I am. Stop making fun of me." Was my read on it. I could be wrong.
And then he calls him Eggman. I think, you know, there's multiple interpretations. This game has a lot of depth.
It's That's like the I'm Bible saying. That way.
Yeah. No.
In that way, it's a lot like the Bible. And in the way that I've, some of the worst people I know base their systems of morality on it.
Yeah, that's true. That is
make
true.
Make Sonic Jesus? Is that what we're
that
saying?
Is true. That
he
is
does
true.
Die a lot and come
yeah,
back.
Yeah, Kind of walks on water.
I'm really hoping Sonic's Jewish. I really am.
I think that
Jesus
could be
was also Jewish.
That not. Could be a read.
Sorry. No,
that
he's could Christian. Be a... Sorry, it's canon.
Well. Oh my god, there's a lot of fan art about that.
Sonic goes to Christian true. Church.
Yeah.
I think Knuckles is at least Catholic.
For sure.
He's no. He is a teenager who's just discovering his atheism.
No, I think Knuckles is like an LAPD sympathizer. I think he's like, he is definitely like a do-gooder.
Definitely not. Definitely not.
He's Knuckles, got too much.
July Knuckles. Can't bring himself
Knuckles
to agree
is
to
all
that.
About the rules, baby.
No, he's not. What
he's
are you
all
talking?
About honor.
He's just an idiot.
The most
I don't know.
Rebellious and of all them.
He literally has a game that alters old games. You put Sonic 2 in Sonic and Knuckles. He's not about the rules. That right. was a madness.
Okay. Knuckles has too madness. Much invested in mysticism, though.
Yeah.
Especially when you get into his storyline here. If anything, I think Tails right. is the atheist.
Yeah.
Well, no, you're wrong. So here I of course looked it up. There's a list of Jewish Sonic characters on DeviantArt.com. And oh, Tails is Jewish.
Okay, Tails is Jewish. Okay,
and so is Amy.
Right. Okay. Yeah.
For sure.
Yeah.
And Cream and Charmy and Whisper. These people, I only knew one of the
Cream the Rabbit.
Cream the Rabbit.
I like Cream the Rabbit.
Who's Charmy?
Easy Nick. Charlie from Always Sunny in Philadelphia.
Easy Nick.
Oh, Charmy. Okay, so lights up. You are dashing through the rooftops
Snow.
of Station Square. Yeah. You're saying, "Ah, yeah, this is happening," and you notice below there's all these police vehicles. Vroom, vroom, vroom.
That Knuckles wouldn't like.
And Knuckles has been donating money to for years.
No, he's not.
He's been donating.
It says it on the car, provided by
provided
Knuckles.
Provided by Knuckles Incorporated. Yeah, he runs the local Amazon like business. Okay. So then you chase after these police cars because you are concerned. As Sonic the Hedgehog, you are concerned with what
you need to know what's happening.
Yeah.
Okay.
You need to know what is happening.
And who does Sonic see below at one of the cops? It's Harry Bosch, of course.
And next to him, Richard Dorner.
Okay. So Sonic springs into action only to see, which is kind of a shocking scene to me now, but wasn't at the time, but is now, of all these cops open fire, like open, yeah. like just unloading clips of bullets on
silent bullets
onto a yeah. Into a monster. We have a little
goo
bit of
alien.
A goo monster on our hand. See through. We notice there's some like brain or emeralds in his brain. It looks like maybe mm-hmm. something going on up there. Mm-hmm. And you see like from the Matrix when all the bullets fall and hit the ground. You see that happen.
Honestly, so sick. And it does predate the Matrix. So actually,
see?
I think they were inspired.
Ooh.
Wachowskis.
I think Sonic is kind of like Neo.
Yes.
I can see that.
He does,
sure.
yeah. he does die and come back.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And he goes into the digital world in Sonic Frontiers.
That's totally true.
The okay.
Well, that's you know what? I'll bet that's why he's saying, oh, yeah, this is happening. Because it's the first time he's experiencing reality.
Oh, all yeah, that other stuff wasn't really happening.
He was in the Matrix.
That goo funny. Monster is kind of like Trinity.
Yeah.
Wait, Connor, I would
pretty
love
for, sexy, yeah.
Connor, I would love for you to walk us through this initial, I guess, tutorial boss fight.
Yeah, so, you know, thankfully I've experienced this a couple times, but I will say the first time I did it a couple years ago, I was very confused. But yeah, you're tasked as Sonic to take on this goo monster. And it actually is pretty simple. I think the thing sort of like moves around like and then its molecules pool together and that's the time you can attack it, I believe.
Yes.
I played this part 3 weeks ago. I should have brushed up, but it's a nice little tutorial that if you can figure out the button presses to get used to your little homing attack, which is like I guess a new thing to the series.
This is why I had to change the controls, by the way, because it wouldn't let me homing attack. And I managed to beat Chaos, but it was such a pain to do.
Because
I could only do one jump, and most of the time, he'll get you first.
Mm. Gotcha. But I think,
Also, like, the cops abandon this. Like, they leave, and that's why Sonic steps in.
Yeah.
It's like his superhero moment.
Oh, that's interesting. I always read the scene as like they were in a rut, like Sonic came in between them, but
they were like so scared that their bullets didn't work. They were like, ugh! And then literally run away.
Yeah, yeah. That's
and leave the city to its fate if it wasn't for Sonic.
Well, and if Nick's read of this being like maybe a Sonic reimagining or something,
Sonic
like it's like
Begins.
It's like Sonic Begins or something. Then it's like you know, he's like, this is maybe how he got his start. Like
for what
he's working
worth,
in the city and being a hero there, and
Sonic Year One.
I think I think it can be read as a partial reboot, but in my head, it's all canon.
Love it. So Connor, yeah, you're homing in, you're hitting his top of his head. We also get the on screen like Chaos 01,
mm-hmm.
I believe.
Mm. Yeah.
I honestly don't remember the exact sequence of events after this. Does it like fly away? It escapes, right?
It
down
sinks
the drain.
Into the sewer.
It goes into the drain.
Where are you going, then, the big drip?
Yeah. It's T-1000ing itself.
The second best line.
Yeah. Yeah, the big drip flees, and all this is taking place at night in the rain, by the way, which I think is kind of like an iconic both these games.
Hall or something.
Yeah, it has like an iconic opening. I like that it's dark.
And then
Robotnik is like watching all of this.
He's watching from the rooftops as well.
And he tells you it's the god of destruction. And you're like, wait, what?
But Sonic doesn't hear that.
Yeah,
he says it
to the viewer, the player, we get to know.
Yeah.
And typical Robotnik, you know, he's playing with things he doesn't understand, you know? He's trying to he's like the Nazis in Raiders of the Lost Ark. He's trying to harness a power he can't possibly manage.
Sonic is Indy.
And Tails?
Short round.
Easy you know casting. What? Knuckles?
I named the dog Sonic the Hedgehog.
Yeah. And that's just a callback to an even better version of that joke Jeremy made at one point on some podcast.
I actually think there's a little bit of indie inspiration in this game. Like, we'll talk about that later.
Yeah.
I feel like.
Yeah, I believe you might be right. So after this, you are dumped. It's like you kind of wake up the next day and you're dumped out into the pool area.
You're hungover in your hotel room.
Of a hotel. Yeah, yeah. Oh,
I assume it's comped by the city for getting rid of chaos.
You have like a fellowship at Station Square. Sonic's writing his novel, and he's sitting by the pool. He's in like a nice pool chair, and he sees his best friend Tails per hour eating shit. In his airplane, just completely eating shit.
Watch out, he says. Yeah.
Watch out.
And Tails.
Yes. Refresh my memory here. Is it, does Sonic say something along the lines of, what's he doing in that plane? I already have a plane called the Tornado.
I think so.
Is that this moment where he's like, his problem is that he didn't use his cool plane that he already had?
His problem is trying to figure out at this point now how many planes they're responsible for as a team.
Yeah, he's doing his budget down there, and he's like, we're already spending so much on the Tornado.
And Tails' name is, of course, Miles Prower. Don't you think it would make sense if like Sonic had a name? And I have said this on other podcasts, and I do want to say it here, just so it's recorded again.
Please do.
It's fresh. Don't you think his name should be like Ray Scar?
Oh,
interesting.
That's pretty good.
Ray Sonic Scar.
Oh yes, then yes. If we're keeping Sonic in there, as a middle
name,
course. Then yes.
Yeah. Okay.
He just goes by his middle name this whole time. That's the big reveal.
Mm-hmm.
I like Ray Scar.
Or what his name was, his name could be Superf Ast.
Yeah, that's good.
Superf. Yeah. I like Superf. Superf is
hey,
your first
Superf.
Hey, Superf. Are you
Superf
talking about
Sonic.
Mr. Ast?
My father's,
no,
father's
that's my father.
Mr. Ast.
Call me Superf.
Yeah.
Can we talk about one weird thing that like proceeded to get more and more uncanny the more I played through this game? Because I have played a little bit ahead, but I won't talk about like that stuff.
Oh,
the
please.
Way Sonic himself is animated and he talks, the whole top of his head moves with each like thing he says. No other character does this, and it just like freaks me out watching him.
Is he animated like a Kermit the Frog puppet?
Yeah, he's like,
or like his eyebrows.
Yeah,
yeah, like the top of his head, and also he's just always very animated, like almost more so than some of the other characters, which makes sense because he's the main character.
He's the hero.
Robotnik's got the Chaos Emeralds.
Wow, Jordan Peterson.
But did this disturb anyone else, or is it just like a weird thing that I saw and couldn't unsee?
No, it's like, for sure. I see it. Even in DX, they couldn't quite fix it. His mouth opens like a little too wide.
Yeah,
like,
right. Yeah.
You see too much of the inside of his mouth. It's very strange.
He looks like a character from that show, Xavier Renegade Angel.
Yeah. Haunting.
Yeah, very, very troubling. I agree, though. Yeah, they shouldn't have animated his head so much. They didn't need to do that.
Yeah, because like he'll be talking to Tails, and Tails looks perfectly normal, and meanwhile, like Sonic's head has a completely different animation style that
burning
looks like
360
he's...
degrees.
Yeah,
I still love the Sonic voice though. Even when the line deliveries are like weird or he looks weird talking, I think the actual voice. I wish he had stuck around.
Oh yeah, it's part of the fun of it. Again, this feels like a Saturday morning cartoon in like the best way.
Yeah.
I also like and that the voice Tails. Fit. Tails is like a real little boy.
Yeah, he does sound like an actual like little kid.
Yeah,
he is. And
even if it's bad, I like
Knuckles.
It.
Does
I
sound
love
like
it.
A real
I
Idris
love
Elba.
Bad dubs or just like cheesy dubs, so it's perfect.
Yeah. So it's very bright and sunny where you're at right now, and you're kind of beckoned to this floating computer monitor, which if you can align yourself up correctly and at just the right sweet spot, hit the B button or whatever on your controller, it'll tell you Emerald Coast basically is like, it's like a sign. You realize it's a sign for the level Emerald Coast, which is right next.
Are these futuristic like signposts for the hub world, like the world, like the people inhabiting the city? Like this is that what that's supposed to be?
I believe it is. I believe we're led to believe that this sort of is a world of the tomorrow kind of kind of city.
It's the right kind of world of tomorrow for Sonic, though, right? Like I feel like so often future is like Blade Runner-y and it's bleak. Like this is like 10 years forward. Everything's still basically what we understand it to be. So you still get that very fun contrast of why is Sonic here versus the regular people? As opposed to like, I feel like in any other kind of future, Sonic reads as like a mutation or like a creature that is born out of whatever natural disaster has ruined our civilization.
Right. Like the cars all still have wheels, but there are computer signs. This game does a couple of weird things with signage and posting things to you, which I think works against it. As Connor was mentioning, like a lot of people I think had that experience of not knowing what to do in this game a lot of times.
Yeah.
And it's because you're not quite ever sure what the game is telling, like where the game is telling you to look for information. Sometimes it's with NPCs, sometimes it's with these little screens, and sometimes it's with like floating Tinkerbell, like
fairies. I think that little like Navi thing that is by the train station will like always tell you what you need to do next if you're lost. I didn't even remember that thing existing as a kid, so I can't even imagine how long it took me to figure out some of this shit. Whereas like now as an adult, I'm like, oh yeah, just go to that thing every time. If I don't know what the fuck I'm supposed to do, it'll tell me.
And there's a reveal with that thing later. It's not just randomly placed there. It's
spoilers.
Plot relevant.
Ooh. Whoa. Okay, that gets me more excited.
That does get me excited.
It's fucked up how legitimately excited I got here.
Yeah,
the
police. I will say though that even if you do figure that out, sometimes even then without a map, it's kind of tough to know. And we'll get to one specific example in the next episode.
Yeah, I know what you're talking about.
Where I as a kid bounced off of that every time because I couldn't figure out where this certain item was. But we'll get to it later. If you jump into the level Emerald Coast, now we can talk about probably, I think, the most iconic thing in Sonic Adventure, period. By like
running.
Running. this stage, not unlike a lot of Mario 1-1s or Sonic, you know, Act 1, Stage 1 or whatever, like
Zone 1.
It ends up being like the most popular and sort of like, I don't know, like the thing you always think about when you think of Sonic is Green Hill Zone, right?
Mm-hmm.
This stage is basically, it starts on a beach, and it will take you through basically a jungle area. It's showcasing both, you know, verticality of the stage. It's also showcasing motion in a cool way. I don't know, like, how do we even talk about a Sonic Adventure level?
It's a wonderful level. I love it. I really love it. I mean, this is where the game comes alive for the first time, and the fact that you kind of get to traverse three different locales in one level, I think it's a testament to what they were willing to try in this first real 3D Sonic game, like true entering the console world. I think it's so awesome, and I love running around, and I mean, I don't know if we're gonna just get right to it, but the big thing that happened.
Oh,
in
you
this
have
level.
We have to tease it. We have to keep teasing it out. The first thing I do want to talk about, though, is the basic mechanics. Even though we kind of could Thank have talked you. About that with Chaos, let's talk about like what it is like to control Sonic. So, I think just like Mario 64, they do a pretty good job of bringing Sonic to 3D in the way you kind of remember him. Where he's like slow to start, but then gets fast pretty quick. He has a spin dash. They do add that homing jump, which is very helpful in the game, turns out.
It's so good.
But yeah, what are your feelings?
I'll say, even despite that, I was surprised at how good it felt to control for me personally. I really expected it to be more cumbersome. But I had a couple takeaways, one of which is, though, even that, I love the Dreamcast controller, but of course it doesn't have a second stick, which is one of its biggest sins. That being the case, I actually thought that the triggers worked really well to like reorient the camera around Sonic once I realized like R rotates the camera right, L rotates the camera left. So that was helpful. And then two, I found that like the more, and this I think was something I continued to discover as I played more levels, was that like the more you just lean on Sonic's speed of just like pressing forward, the faster he gets and the more you can just fly, which is I found really fun. What do you guys think about the mechanics?
Bad. Don't like.
Oh, no.
No. Once you get running and once you're going, like it feels like a game that like kind of sticks you into a flow state that I really like. Eventually, once it's cracking, it's good, but like at the beginning it felt like for me like Mario 64 on ice levels. Yeah, like Sonic is just a little slippery, he goes a little too fast, like his momentum doesn't click in my brain, where like he goes too fast to start and then not fast enough when I start running. Like it all feels a little screwy.
Yeah, his jump is also, I should say, like it's impossibly tall. I think that they get away with a lot because it's like he just jumps so high and it's so corrective. You can like really get out of a lot of jams just by jumping out of it.
And this is a thing you learn from one of the civilians in the train station. If you hold the jump button, you go higher.
Mm-hmm. He like sort of slowly floats and spins up a little higher.
Yeah.
There will be weird parts where like you'll be going really fast and like having a good time, and then you have to stop abruptly for some reason. And it can feel kind of weird, or just like, oh man, my flow got messed up. Like what did I do wrong? Or just feels like it's kind of wrong, I guess.
Yeah, I feel like that's an issue that, and Sonic fans, tell me if I'm wrong here, that like Sonic's never been free of. Sonic's always had that issue.
You're wrong,
Which is like you come crashing into a moment of having to do platforming, which is just not what Sonic is good at.
Yes.
Like he's good at going fast and
being. I feel like those he's numbered pads, the like 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 number pads that you just jump to, that felt like a good answer for platforming, and that it just happens automatically. Those are fun.
And like if it was more focused on like platforming and trying to find little secrets, because like when I was playing this level for the first time, I was kind of slowing down more to be like, oh, where is that item? Or I think I saw something when I was going really fast. I'll backtrack a little, try and see what the heck it was. So there was like a fun to that, but it felt like I was playing the game wrong by doing that, even though they put like items and stuff there.
Yeah, you kind of have to, be almost become a master of this game to play it in a way where it looks like Sonic is actually powerful and good at what he does. Like most people, when they pick up the controller, it makes Sonic look like a total idiot, like you can't do anything. And it's he's addicted to dying.
He is.
I'm always like I'm always running past coins as fast as I can, or like rings. I'm always like not getting them so fast. Like wishing I had just been a little over to the left or right when I'm running. Eventually, like if you're going through the level, you'll find a number of platforming challenges and enemies. There's all these monkeys that are throwing bombs at you throughout the stage. Spiky gates that are crashing down on you. And then you run into probably one of the most famous killer whales in all of video games. He might be the most famous. Is there a more famous killer whale?
There's the whale in Mario Brothers 2 who blows you up to the second cloud platform.
Doesn't hold a candle to this
I think this one's way more famous. Yeah.
I think so too. I think so too.
It's insane. It's demolishing the scenery, and it feels like very tense.
Yeah.
Right. And it's wild that this was foreshadowing, because he is coming after Sonic for owning a yacht.
Revenge.
Ahead of his time, this whale.
It is weirdly prescient with all the recent orca attacks that are happening. You guys been following
that? That I think Tyler was referencing.
That was my joke.
Yeah. There's just been so many. I didn't know it was yacht based.
There's like
multiple attacks
of
this happening, though. I heard the one.
Oh,
there's a lot.
It's happening a bunch. Yeah.
Yeah.
Coordinated effort. They do like communicate with each other, they're very smart.
But we can't close the beach, because that's where all of our tourist money comes from.
Exactly.
Yeah, we have to have a summer.
Jaws all over again.
Can I say, I did get to this playthrough. I got to experience my roommate walked in and saw it for the first time.
Oh.
And she just happened to be walking through the living room and was like, oh my God, this is gorgeous.
She said that about the whale?
Yeah. That's like, oh, okay, yeah.
Wow.
Well, it is cool. The water looks nice. It's a very tropical, like, colorful environment. Like, that's one of the things I like so much about this. It feels so much like summer that I'm very glad this is, like, the game we're playing during the summer months.
Yeah.
Me
it's,
too,
like, a perfect
a
summer game. Reminds me of, like,
there.
Summer vacation, and just, like, this level in particular is, like, hey, it's really sunny outside. You're going to the beach because it's summer. Have fun. And don't get eaten by a killer whale.
And then I
touch
and then,
on the water real quick. Sorry. How good it looks and whatnot. I don't know if you knew that James Cameron actually played this game and it inspired Avatar Way of the Water.
Wow. Interesting. Yeah. You know what I also find interesting is that Sonic in Station Square can be completely submerged in a pool for as long as you want.
Mm-hmm. No, you can drown, at least in the one version I had. It started playing the drowning music when I went under the water.
Did that to me too. I was in like somewhere else, but I was just trying to look to see if there were items down in a pool somewhere. And then that music started playing. And I was like, wait, what? I thought I, what? Okay.
Because that didn't happen in my game. Are you sure you guys didn't like buy this copy at a garage sale from like parents whose son Ben drowned?
Did you guys
bought the creepypasta edition of Sonic Adventure?
Well, you guys know how much I wanted the horror game to win this time, so I thought I'd combine them both.
Sonic Drowning is a horror game.
Yeah,
for sure. It's a horror game.
Would be
show. This killer whale destroys this pier, and it's like you're running away
from it. What's the killer whale's name?
Tillicum. What is it?
Yeah.
Pre-Willy.
Okay, good.
It does have a name?
Does it have a name?
Chamu, of course.
Okay. Oh, okay. See, we're loaning him out. I see. Collab.
So, and then basically once you're done with this, I mean,
I thought that was going to be an easy layup for you, Jeremy.
I didn't know where. Yeah, there's a few options there. I don't know if I picked the right one.
Free Willy. Shamu.
I mean, it's Sonic. Everything
has a name. Tillicum. That is
something with cum in it. Is that what you said?
Tillicum.
I don't know who that is.
From Blackfish.
Jeremy.
What?
Perv. You're the perv of the show now.
Okay. All right.
We almost made it.
Did you guys I recommended this. I don't think anybody else is going to do it, but I sure am. Did you guys write down your times and ring counts for Emerald Coast?
No, because I felt bad because this happens with every time I replay one of these games. I always do terribly the first run, and I always want to go back and do a better run of it. Mm. So I'm getting C's in all these right now.
Now I can make you feel better because I found this out recently. You'll always get C the first time.
Okay.
Because C is what you get for completing the level. You can get B or A by on the next playthroughs. There's a capsule at the end of it that you jump on, like in classic 2D Sonic levels. Mm. If you get to that capsule in like a certain amount of time, that's when you can get an A.
With a certain amount of coins, I think.
Yeah. So to get a B rank, you have to have at least 50 rings. I did like multiple levels I still got a C.
Yeah, that's interesting. So you have to replay them to get the higher ranks.
Mm-hmm. So don't feel bad, Joy.
And this is a great that is fun to play multiple times through, and
it is.
Maybe there's not enough content in this game to not play it a lot of times. I don't know, there actually is so once you beat Emerald Coast, you are I don't know if you can get into Station Square like until you beat that first zone.
I think you can, but not past like the second. I feel like I remember going into like the hotel and then out into the next room and everything was locked and I couldn't do anything, so I just went the other way.
Yeah,
but I could very easily be making that up. I don't remember.
When you come back, you can go into the hotel where you see the clerk, and there's some stairs leading up to a little puzzle you can't do yet. And then there's two doors, one that leads to the casino zone part of the Station Square, and one that leads to sort of everything else. That's kind of the final thing we got to talk about today on this episode is, what do we think of this hub world? What are some initial thoughts of this whole area?
Love it. It's really uncanny. Like, so much about it feels so strangely so welcoming and bright, and also so bizarre. Like, something's off. Like, I know this game isn't about to be like a mystery where you uncover some giant conspiracy about
the whole town is ghosts or something.
Yes, but it feels like that.
Mm-hmm. I think it's because Sonic is a cartoon character, but everything else around him is rendered more like it's made for humans in the real world. Mm-hmm. So it feels like you don't belong there in a way.
Mm-hmm.
There's something
everything
about
feels a little off.
The stylization of the city and the music together, it's like the 3D personification of vaporwave. You guys ever those music tracks where the artwork is always, it looks like old math textbooks where you'll see like a city skyline in the background and then just a marble statue head.
Yeah, the music to this place like sent me back in time more than remembering what it looked like. Like, the music for this zone is something that was like burned in my brain, because I think it's like the only track that plays in the town. Mm-hmm.
I really like that track too.
Yeah,
it's great.
Yeah, it's a good thing. Liking that track is better than disliking it, because you're gonna hear it a lot.
Yeah,
you're running around hearing that song a lot.
Well, I definitely have like nostalgia for it. I guess you guys who are playing it for the first time, like Mikey, I know this is kind of like your first experience with it. What did you think?
I have yet to run into a bad music track. That is something I have noticed every time throughout. Like, they're all kind of bangers.
Yes.
Yeah.
You got this one from me, Nick.
Yeah.
I mean, if you end this like you did the Pokemon episode, I'm going to throw a fit.
Oh, my God.
It'll be interesting to see. It'll be interesting to see where I fall.
So, so there's not much else you can do in the city necessarily. There's like a pizza place I think you can go into. There's like,
can we only go to the first one, or can we go to the two spots, like the one that has City Hall and the burger place in the sewer? Is that accessible now, or
I think you can go over there. There's also
the gates open.
Oh, the gate might not be. I mean, maybe you can't, but
Tyler's right, there's two cop cars in front of it.
Oh, okay. Yeah, that's right. So you can only do the first section.
So you can only really see then this block. And then, like, you can kind of see, like, them telegraphing the twinkle star land elevator to later. But but really, I mean, you'll hear over the intercom at some point, you know, the train to the Mystic Ruins is leaving. And that's your cue.
Which is where Tails went.
Yeah, that's your cue to go
with the Chaos Emerald.
To go.
Yeah, so like the end of the Emerald Coast level introduces Chaos Emeralds. Because Tails has one.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. And we didn't talk about that. We should. Yeah. Anything?
I feel like that feels... Like, I would just say that's a next episode topic because it felt like just like a flag I was getting. Like, I think I got to Tails
like,
at the end of the first
episode.
Yeah,
this exists. And then,
and then they start to play into the story in the next couple episodes in what in such a way.
Yeah.
such a choice.
Well, this would be probably a good time to wrap up this episode then. We sincerely thank you for voting for Sonic Adventure. This is bound to be an all-timer season of the Super NPC Games Club. There's so much more to discuss and so much more coming up in just the next episode alone. So we will be back next week. My name is Jeremy Schmidt. You can follow me on Twitter at Ocarina of Crime. You can follow my show, Video Games, a Comedy Show, on Twitter at VGA Comedy Show. Connor McCabe, where can people find you?
Yeah, thanks for listening. And yeah, I'm so excited to be playing through this game for the first time. The first two we did, I was so familiar with. And this one is like a freakish mystery to me. So I'm excited. You can find me on social media at Connor_McCabe. You can also follow me on Twitch at twitch.tv/consiscool69. If you're listening to this on a free feed and you're not a patron of the network, check out my podcast, Call Me By Your Game. Wherever you listen to shows, I sit down with someone and hear from them about a meaningful game from a particular moment in their life. And if you are a patron of ours, thanks a bunch. You can also follow us on social media at Super NPC Radio on Twitter and Instagram. We have a great Discord as well. So yeah, reach out and we can connect you to that stuff. But thank you.
Tyler Schnupp.
Schnupp69, Instagram and Threads for now. Reactivators, Twitter and Instagram, and Bonk Boys on this network.
July Diaz.
Check out all of Crush 40's music, wherever you stream music, I guess. And also the Roast of Mario, Roast of Donkey Kong episodes of Video Games, a Comedy Show. Check those out.
Maybe a Roast of Sonic to come.
Ooh, maybe. That'd be fun. Yeah. And Video Games, Comedy Show, just in general, plugging that. What else do I want to plug? You can follow Video Games, a Comedy Show on X. You can follow it on X.
I hate that we have to say that now.
I gotta get on something else.
Yeah.
What is next? Is it Blue Sky? Is that what we're all doing?
I like Threads.
That's where I'm gonna try.
I'm on there. If I ever get a code, I'll send it to one of you two.
Thank you.
One of you all.
I need. It's like a life raft.
I need one.
Yeah, truly. Yeah.
And also Inside Video Games Classic podcast, and that's it.
Roxy Polk.
I am on the platform formerly known as Twitter and Twitch as Red Mage Roxy. I'm streaming usually like 3 days a week. Bonus streams too. Also monthly movie nights on my Discord. I run a Discord as well.
Ooh,
which
Mikey.
Everybody should come hang out there.
Hell yeah.
Absolutely. Mikey McCaller, where can people find you?
You can find me on Twitter at Secret Blimp and on Twitch at twitch.tv/Secret Blimp. I'm not doing it. I'm just not doing it. I'm allowed to not do it.
Nice.
And listen to Scary Basement, me and Roxy's horror movie podcast. And on this very network, Press X to Scream, our scary video game podcast.
Yeah, go do it. It's really fun.
Nick Costanza. Nick.
Press Twitter to scream.
Nick Costanza on Instagram Threads. Nick_Costanza on X. And listen to the plugs Tyler shouted out.
Absolutely. We'll be back next week. We'll be covering Windy Valley, Scenopolis, and Ice Cap. Stay tuned.